Scripture reading this morning is Nehemiah 13, verses 1 through 22. Nehemiah 13, the first 22 verses of that chapter. And we read Nehemiah 13 in connection with Lord's Day 38, which deals with the Sabbath day, keeping the Sabbath day. We had a series on Ezra a while back. Nehemiah, he was one who came and lived among the Jews soon after the time of Ezra. And Nehemiah, when he was among those Jews, he helped them build the wall of the city. But then he left for a time. We're going to read about that in chapter 13. He leaves for a time and then he comes back and sees them profaning the Sabbath day. That's what especially we will look at in Nehemiah 13. The Jews and their profaning of the Sabbath. Nehemiah 13, begin at verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. And that's Nehemiah speaking there. He says, in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers, and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together, and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God, and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre, and also therein, which brought fish, and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Thus far we read the Word of God this morning. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the truth contained in Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38, found on page 22. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works, and yield myself to the Lord, to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Many Reformed churches have changed their view of the Sabbath day. There are many ways that Reformed churches have changed since the Great Synod of Dort in 1618 and 1619. Many different ways that Reformed churches have changed since then. 400 years ago, the Great Synod of Dort met. That synod was made up of Reformed delegates, men from Reformed churches throughout the Netherlands. That synod was also made up of Reformed delegates from different Reformed churches throughout Europe. And that at that synod, the Spirit especially led them to settle the Arminian controversy. So they set forth at that synod the 5 points of the Reformed faith, or the 5 points of Calvinism. We often remember those 5 points that they set forth under the acronym TULIP. TULIP. Maybe you have heard of that or you remember it from catechism. They set forth those 5 doctrinal truths in the canons of Dort. That's what the canons of Dort are all about. The truth of total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. That was the canons of Dort. And all Reformed churches have adopted the canons of Dort as one of their creeds. Now, while Reformed churches today officially hold to the canons of Dort, so many are no longer teaching what the canons of Dort teach. So many Reformed ministers in name have denied all 5 points of the Reformed faith. Maybe you have heard some of them deny irresistible grace, or deny limited atonement, or election and reprobation. We continue to hold to the truth of the canons of Dort. We do that only by the grace of God. It is not because we are so much greater. God has been faithful to us, given us the strength to uphold the 5 points of the Reformed faith, the truth set forth in the canons of Dort. Many have strayed from them. But there is another way. There is another way that so many Reformed churches have changed since the Synod of Dort. They've changed in those ways. They're no longer holding to many of the points of the Reformed faith, but they've also changed in this way. There's been a change in Sabbath observance. A huge, massive change. You see, at the Synod of Dort, the main thing they did was settle that Arminian controversy, but they did more. At the Synod of Dort, they also laid forth 6 points about the Sabbath day. And if you look it up online, you can find it. What the Synod of Dort said about the Sabbath day. And basically, what they said is this, based on Scripture. They said that the Sabbath day is now to be kept on the first day of the week, Sunday. And on that first day of the week, men are to cease from work. They are to rest on that day, to rest from their earthly labors, but also from recreation, from anything that will take them away from a focus upon Jesus Christ. The day is to be set apart for rest. Now, sadly, many Reformed churches and many Reformed people no longer view the Sabbath that way. The day is no longer a day of rest, of focusing upon what our Savior has done. Instead, it is a day for golf, it's a day for fishing, it's a day for the Vikings. That's what the day is about. The office bearers do nothing to uphold the truth of the Sabbath. It does not matter. Things have changed since Dort. But what about our view? What about our view of the Sabbath? Has it changed? Maybe not officially. Officially, we still call it the day of rest. It's preached about. It must be preached about too. But what about in our homes? Are we still holding to the teachings of Scripture on the Sabbath and the teachings of the Synod of Dort on the Sabbath in our homes? What about there? Well, let's hear what the Scriptures say today about the Sabbath. Let's hear that. And may the Spirit work in our hearts to go forward seeking to keep the Sabbath day, to keep it set apart for rest. Let's consider this text under the theme, keeping the fourth commandment. Keeping the fourth commandment. First, the commandment. Second, the keeping of it. And third, the blessing. The commandment, the keeping of it, and the blessing. First, the commandment. The fourth commandment is this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, to understand that commandment, we have to know what the Sabbath is. We have to understand the idea of the Sabbath. That word Sabbath means rest. It means rest. That word Sabbath is used throughout Scripture. In Deuteronomy 5 and in Exodus 20, where we find the law of God, we read of the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy. In Nehemiah 13, we read throughout of the Sabbath day. In question and answer 103, about halfway through, we read, or just a couple lines, we read about the Sabbath, that is the day of rest. Question and answer 103 speaks about the Sabbath as the day of rest, because that word Sabbath actually means rest. That's what the word literally means. Rest. What exactly is the rest of the Sabbath? When you think about rest, kids, maybe the first thing you think of is laying in your bed and sleeping, or sitting on the couch and watching TV. But that's not the idea of the Sabbath rest. It's not the idea. The rest of the Sabbath day is not doing nothing. The rest of the Sabbath, instead, is this. It is entering into the enjoyment of the salvation God has given us. The rest of the Sabbath is entering into the enjoyment of God's saving work. Let's understand that. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, teach that God rested on the Sabbath. That does not mean he did nothing. Genesis 2, verse 3 says, God blessed the Sabbath, seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So he rested. But it's not that he did nothing. No, what he did on the Sabbath is he enjoyed his finished work of creation. He said, behold, it is very good. That was rest, entering into the enjoyment of his finished work. According to Deuteronomy chapter 5, God called Israel to rest by enjoying his saving work for them. They were to enjoy the deliverance that God had given them from Egypt on that Sabbath day. We get that from Deuteronomy chapter 5. We read that this morning when we read the law for a purpose. In Deuteronomy 5 verses 12 through 14, we read about how they are to keep the Sabbath day holy. But then you get to verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5, and we read, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So that was what the Sabbath was to be about for the Israelites, not doing nothing, but as a day where they were to remember what God had done in delivering them from Egypt. They were to rest by entering into the enjoyment of the deliverance God had given them. Entering into the enjoyment of that deliverance that pointed to the deliverance in Jesus Christ. That was to be where their focus was on the Sabbath, on their deliverance. And on that day they would give thanks to God for it, praise to Him as they thought upon that deliverance. Now that shows us what rest means for us today. Today we rest by entering into the enjoyment of Christ's saving work. That's what we think about. That's what we focus on. Christ's saving work. That's rest. We know our guilt, and that's a great burden. We come here at the end of, it's the first day of the week, but last week we see all the sins that we committed. That's a burden upon us. We know we are guilty of ourselves. And we hear. We come here and we think again upon what our Savior has done for us. That deliverance that He's given us through His work on the cross. That's rest. Focusing on what our Savior has done for us. And we praise God as we do so. We praise God and we thank Him as we think upon that deliverance we've been given. Now God calls us to set aside one day for rest. He calls us to set aside a whole day for rest, for that entering into the enjoyment of salvation. In a sense, we are to rest every day. In one sense, we are to rest every day. That comes out in question and answer 103. We read there, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? Then look at that part that says, secondly. We read there, secondly, that all the days of my life, all the days, I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So we are to rest every day. And we are to rest every day by turning from our evil works. Think about it. When we continue in sin, we continue in evil works, we are not resting. We are not entering into the enjoyment of Christ's saving work. Of course not. You are walking in sin. You're not thinking or being focused upon the Savior. That's not rest. We rest every day by turning from those evil works and by yielding ourselves to God, as the Catechism says. Yielding ourselves or giving ourselves to the Lord by the work of the Spirit in us. Giving ourselves to the Lord involves meditating upon what our Savior has done for us, what our God is doing for us every day. That is rest. We are called to rest every day. But God has called us to set apart one day, specially for rest. Set apart the whole day for us, for this entering into the enjoyment of salvation in Christ. Scripture teaches that one day of the week is to be a holy day. A holy day. That is a day set apart from the others. That comes out in the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nehemiah teaches that in Nehemiah 13. In verse 22, he commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. To sanctify means to make holy. Nehemiah was commanding them to keep the day holy. Holy means set apart. When we are commanded to keep the day holy, it means that the day is not to be a common day. No, the day is to be specially set apart for devotion to God, for rest. That's what God demands. Set this day apart. Set this day apart, the Sabbath day, for rest. Set it apart to think upon what Jesus has done. Set it apart to praise Him as you are thinking upon what the Savior has done. Keep the day holy. That is, set it apart for rest. Now, Nehemiah in Nehemiah 13 also talks about the negative side of the command. That's the positive. Keep the Sabbath day holy. That is, set it apart for rest. Well, Nehemiah also demands, do not make this day common. That comes out in verse 17. Nehemiah 13, he says, I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? He said the Jews are profaning the Sabbath day. To profane the Sabbath day is to make it common. It's to take something that is supposed to be holy and set apart and to make it common, normal. Treat it like any other day. Nehemiah commanded the Jews to stop making the day common. Nehemiah was the appointed governor of the Jews at this time. These Jews had just returned from captivity in Babylon. Nehemiah was their appointed governor, appointed by Artaxerxes, the emperor of that day. Now Nehemiah, as governor, had led the people to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah had led the people to rebuild the walls. Ezra is the one who rebuilt the temple. Nehemiah led the people to rebuild the walls, and he also led the people to worship God rightly again. He taught them the laws of God regarding worship. Well, after he did that, Nehemiah left for a time. We read in Nehemiah 13, verse 6, that he was gone for a time, maybe checking back with Artaxerxes, the emperor. When Nehemiah came back, he saw something that was very displeasing to him. Very upsetting. He saw that the Jews were making the day, the Sabbath day, common. Profaning it. It was not being set apart for rest. And he commanded that they stop. He commanded that they stop right then. They were called to rest. And that same command comes to us today. Set it apart for rest. Do not profane it. It's to be specially set aside. The whole day. For rest. Now, in looking at the commandment, we see that one day must be specially set aside for rest. Now understand what that one day is. The one day that is to be specially set aside for rest is the first day of the week, Sunday. For Old Testament Israel, the day that they were to set apart for rest was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. So kids, the Jews in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they would worship God on the Sabbath day, but that day was not Sunday, it was Saturday. That's what God commanded them to do in Deuteronomy 5, verse 14. It says there, the seventh day is the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. If the Israelites worshipped on Saturday, that was their special day to be set aside entirely for rest. Why do we now do that on Sunday? Why are we to set apart Sunday, the first day of the week, for rest? Why is that? Well, there is biblical proof. The Bible teaches that we are to set apart now the first day of the week, not the seventh. There's biblical proof. The simplest answer as to why the Sabbath is now the first day of the week is that Jesus arose from the grave on the first day of the week. That's really why. That's why we worship now and set apart Sunday. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath by His death and resurrection. That word Sabbath means rest, as we heard. Well, Jesus, He gained rest for us. He earned rest for us through His death and gained it for us through His resurrection. And that happened, that resurrection happened on the first day of the week. And thus, the Sabbath day, the rest day, has been moved to Sunday, that first day of the week. Also, elsewhere in the New Testament, we read that Jesus appeared to the disciples for the first time on the first day of the week, on Sunday. And then He appeared to them again on the first day of the week, Sunday. He was establishing a pattern there of meeting, of setting apart that first day of the week. Christ's Spirit directed the apostles and the early church to set apart that first day of the week for rest. We read in Acts 20, verse 7, and in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, we read there of how the early church met on the first day of the week to worship and for rest. Revelation 1, verse 10. Revelation 1, verse 10 speaks of a Lord's Day in the New Testament. John says there of how he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was speaking there of the first day of the week, the Lord's Day that the people had been keeping since Jesus Christ's resurrection. That's Scripture then. The New Testament is full of examples of the truth that we are to worship now and set apart for rest the first day of the week. And it's not only Scripture that teaches that, that's the most important. The record of church history, also shows that we are to keep set apart the first day of the week. We believe that the Spirit leads the church into the truth throughout the New Testament. He leads the true church into the truth. Well, the Spirit continued to lead in those early years of the church. The Spirit continued to lead them to worship on the first day of the week. We can read of those early church fathers of the 1st and 2nd century AD. And they write of how the people all gathered on the first day. Also, the Synod of Dort in 1619, led by the Spirit, they declared that the church now is to set apart the first day of the week. The Spirit has led us to see this. So that's the command. That's the command. We are called to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Set apart one day for rest, especially for that entering into the enjoyment of salvation in Christ. Now, the keeping of it. How must we keep this day set apart for rest? First of all, do not do certain activities that keep you from resting. Do not do ordinary work on the Sabbath day. That's what the command itself says. Deuteronomy 5, verses 13 through 14 says there, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And that's what Nehemiah commanded the Jews too in Nehemiah chapter 13. When Nehemiah came back from his visit with Artaxerxes, he came back into Jerusalem and he saw that the people were working. The men were making wine. Some men were working in their fields. There were buyers and sellers from Tyre and other places coming in to Jerusalem to sell things, to go to the markets on the Sabbath day. Verse 15 of chapter 13 says, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. They were not resting. They were not setting apart this day for entering into the enjoyment of their deliverance from Egypt. They were not focused on that deliverance. They were focused on gaining some extra money. Nehemiah demanded that they stop. That's verse 19, or verse 17 too. He contended with those nobles of Judah. Why are you profaning the Sabbath day? It says in verse 19 that he commanded the gates to be shut. He charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath day. He set servants to keep watch over those gates. He demanded that they stop working. Now, that shows us that we must not do our ordinary work on the Sabbath day. We must not. That does not help us enter into rest, enter into the enjoyment of salvation in Christ. Understand, it's a great temptation to work on the Sabbath day. It's very hard not to work. It's very hard not to buy and sell. So easily we can go right on the computer with a couple clicks and buy something. No one else will know. So easily we make ourselves so busy that we almost think we have to work on the Sabbath day. Maybe I have to answer that work email. Or I have to do a little paperwork on Sunday night or I will never catch up. It's a temptation. Kids, it's a temptation for you too. Temptation for you to work on Sunday. Do your homework. You had a very busy week. And all of a sudden you think, well, this is my day to catch up now. Sunday. I have some time. We must say no to work. We must say no to work because those activities do not help us focus on Jesus Christ and enter into the enjoyment of our salvation on that day. It does not help at all. How can you, when you are sitting there focused on your science project, how can you, when you are sitting there focusing on your work email? Can't do it. You must be even careful about works of mercy on the Sabbath day. We certainly may do works of mercy. We need to have patients taken care of at the nursing home or at the hospital. But those who have jobs in that area must do everything that they can to be here on the Sabbath day and worshiping. This is a day to be set apart for rest, for focus on the Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the praise of His name. That's what it is to be for. We do not do activities that keep us from resting. That means we say no to work. But also that means we say no to all other activities that keep us from resting on the Sabbath. We won't go into all the do's and don'ts today. There could be a million questions about that. But let's keep it very simple. God calls us to enter into the enjoyment of our salvation on the Sabbath day and to praise His name. So let's avoid all those things that take our focus away from Christ. Before you do something, ask, is this going to hurt or help me rest today? Ask yourself that question. And parents, you will often have to set boundaries for your kids on the Sabbath day to show them what is a good activity and what is not a good activity. Show them what is an activity that will help you rest and what is not an activity that will help you rest. Set boundaries. Help them learn to devote this day to Jesus Christ and resting in Him. Do not do activities that hinder you from rest, but now this positively. Keeping this day set aside for rest means that we do activities that help us rest, that help us focus on our Savior Jesus Christ. And you already know what the main activity then would be. Going to church. Going to church. Question and answer 103 says that. What does God require in the fourth commandment? That the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. Diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the name of the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor. That's how how we keep the day set apart for rest, coming here. Diligently frequenting the church of God means that we come here regularly. We come here as often as we can. We do not say, oh, I can't make it this time. It doesn't work for me. No, we are here. If at all possible, we are here. Is there a better place? A better place to help us rest, enter into the enjoyment of salvation? There isn't. It's right here. It's right here, for here is where we hear the gospel proclaimed, as Lord's Day 38 says. We meditate upon the truth that we ourselves are in bondage to sin through Jesus Christ. We have that salvation. We think upon that here. And that's rest. Also, we come here, for here the sacraments are administered. We partake of the Lord's Supper, and we see so clearly, we are assured that Jesus Christ's body really was broken for me. His blood really was shed for me. Dwelling upon that is rest. That's entering into the enjoyment of salvation. Come here to call upon the name of the Lord, as the Catechism says. Call upon the name of the Lord in song and in prayer. That's rest. That's rest as we sing about what the God of our salvation has done for us. Rest. Contribute also to the relief of the poor. That too helps us rest. When that collection plate comes around, we are not just mindlessly putting money in there. We are thinking upon the truth that Jesus Christ became poor so that we might be rich. We're thinking upon the truth that He became poor spiritually so that we might be rich spiritually, and now we want to give all that we have to His church. We think about that when the collection plate comes around. That's rest. And this way of hearing the Word, partaking of the sacraments, calling upon the Lord's name, giving of our offerings, it's the way in which we rest. Now, in connection with our worship in God's house, understand why we do not spend the day then fishing. Understand why we do not spend the rest of the day watching the Vikings and doing those other things. We don't do that. If you're giving yourself to fishing and golf after the first service, how are you going to continue to rest and enjoy that salvation that you heard about in the sermon in the morning? Well, your mind's going to be on those other things. If you are giving yourself to watching the Vikings all afternoon, and then you go back to the evening service, how are you going to focus there in the evening service, truly focus on Jesus Christ, and enter into the enjoyment of salvation? You're not going to be focused on that. You're not going to be focused on Christ. You'll be thinking about the touchdown catch. That's what happens. And that's why we lay aside the cares of this world on the Sabbath. That's why we come to the Lord's house twice on the Sabbath day. Throughout the whole day, then, let's do activities that help us rest. Remember the command. Remember the command. It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. It does not say, keep the Sabbath hour holy. It does not say, keep a couple hours on the Sabbath holy. It says, keep the day holy. That is, set apart for rest. The whole day. We can do many activities with our families and with other church members that help us rest. Many different ones. For example, we can have family devotions. There's time on Sunday. There's an opportunity there to read the Word together, to focus on what the Savior's done. There's time to visit Grandpa and Grandma, or to go to Edgebrook like we can do tonight and sing. Sing of what our Savior has done. Have others from the congregation over to your house. Enjoy fellowship one with another. Good activities. They help us rest. We can do activities as individuals that help us rest on the Sabbath day. Kids, we've talked about this in catechism. Sunday is a great day to go over your catechism, to do your written work. That helps you focus on your Savior on the Sabbath day. Helps you rest. Read the Standard Bearer. Read the Standard Bearer, a good Christian book. Maybe some of you will say this morning, I'm not a reader. I don't do that. It takes work. It does, but it's a good activity. It helps us keep our focus where it should be. As you see, there are many, many ways to fill up the day with good activities that help us rest. Let's do them. Let's do them. You see how we are to keep it. Understand also the connection to the keeping of the Sabbath day. Understand the calling that office bearers have. Office bearers are to call the congregation to keep the Sabbath day holy, and they're to help them do it. That's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, as an office bearer, the governor that God had appointed over the Jews, Nehemiah called the people to keep the Sabbath day and helped them do it. When he saw the Jews working and buying and selling on the Sabbath day, Nehemiah did not turn a blind eye. Nehemiah did not say, "Oh, I'm tired of trying to help this people. I'm sick of it." He didn't say that. Nehemiah did not say, "I want these people to like me, so I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let this Sabbath breaking go." He didn't say that. No, he took immediate action. And he did all he could to stop the Sabbath breaking. He went right to those nobles, according to verse 17, and he said to them, "What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day?" He did not mince words. Verse 18, he says, "Are you going to bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath day?" And he did not just speak. He took action. Real action. In verse 19, we read that he commanded the gates of Jerusalem to be shut. And when there were some merchants, some buyers and sellers hanging out outside the city wall, according to verse 20, and waiting to get their spot the next morning, the Sabbath day, in Jerusalem, a good spot in the market, Nehemiah heard about that. He went to that. He went to them. And he said in verse 20, or verse 21, "Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you." He demanded that they stop profaning the Sabbath day. And he demanded that they keep the day rightly. Verse 22, he says to the Levites, "Cleanse yourselves, and they must come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day." He was a godly leader. He was a godly leader motivated by a desire to thank God for his salvation. He's not doing it because he was on a power trip. He was not doing this to become popular. He was seeking the glory of his God. He knew the deliverance that he had. He was thankful for it. Being thankful for it, he did everything he could to help the Jews and help himself keep the Sabbath day holy, keep it set apart for rest. And now that has direct application to our office bearers today. They are to do all they can to help the people keep the Sabbath day. They have a calling. Nehemiah is a type. Nehemiah is a picture of office bearers today. Nehemiah, again, he was a governor of God's people, appointed by God. A ruler appointed by God. Office bearers are rulers in the church appointed by God, by Christ the King, the ruler of the church. They are to rule God's people. They must see to it and do all they can to help us keep the Sabbath day. The minister, as an office bearer, he must preach about the Sabbath day. He must not mince his words. He must bring what the Scriptures say. The elders and deacons, here, they form the consistory. Consistory, they must uphold the importance of the Sabbath day too. If there is Sabbath breaking, they must go to that family or to that person. They must do as Nehemiah did. Let's not be afraid to do that. They must explain the importance of the Sabbath day. And if there is continued sin, there must be discipline. They must. We must do this in love for God. Do this in love for God and His people, as Nehemiah did. Office bearers, remember the deliverance that you've been given in Jesus Christ. And thinking upon that, seek to do this in thankfulness to Him. Seek to help the people worship and glorify His name on the Sabbath day. That's the calling of the office bearer. Keep Sunday set apart for rest, for entering into the enjoyment of salvation. Now there is a blessing in that way. A blessing in this way. Understand, first of all, under this last point, that those who do not rest on this day, they do not experience God's blessing. In truth, they feel far from God. That's what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah said that the Israelites would experience God's rest, or experience God's wrath, if they continued to profane the Sabbath day. Verse 18, he says, "Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." Nehemiah said their fathers had done this. Your fathers did this. They before they were taken into captivity, they did not care about the Sabbath. They were buying and selling. And as they continued to forsake the Sabbath, your fathers became weaker and weaker and weaker in their spiritual life. And they served idols. And because of their profaning of the Sabbath, making it common, not resting, God made them miserable. He brought them into captivity. Do you not remember that, Jews? Some Israelites, Nehemiah may have even pointed this out to them, some Israelites became lost in their sins in Babylon. They and their children became lost forever. But God used the misery, of being in this strange land and being far away from the temple. He used that to bring His elect remnant back to Himself to repent. And that elect remnant, they returned to Jerusalem. Nehemiah maybe even said, "You are their children. You are the children of that elect remnant that returned here. Now what are you doing?" By continuing in this sin of not keeping the Sabbath day, you are now bringing upon yourselves that same terrible wrath that your parents and grandparents experienced. Why are you doing that? Continuing in this way, you will feel far from Him. Many of your children will depart. They will become lost in sin, not caring about spiritual things. You will experience wrath in this way. Stop doing it. And that same warning is to come to us today. Those who do not rest today, they also experience misery. They will feel far from Jehovah. God makes those who continue to ignore His Sabbath command to feel very far from Him. And you can understand how that works. Those who ignore His Sabbath command, they will not be coming to church to hear the gospel proclaimed. They will not be studying the Word throughout the day. Thus, they will not be entering into the enjoyment of salvation in Jesus Christ. And living in this valley of tears, they will be miserable in that way. Difficulties will come, and they will have no assurance, they will have no peace in that way of the way in which they're walking. That's misery. It's misery not to hear the gospel of comfort and not to enter into the rest of Jesus Christ throughout the Sabbath day. And also, those who do not rest, they become weaker and weaker in their spiritual life. Weaker and weaker. Kids, what happens when you don't eat? What happens when you don't drink? You become weak. You can't do much. You become very weak. Well, now think about what happens when you do not have spiritual food and drink. What happens when you do not come here to be spiritually fed with the Word? What happens when you don't come here regularly to be spiritually fed? You know the answer. You become very, very weak spiritually. Becoming very, very weak spiritually, you walk in more and more sin. You're miserable in that sin. It's a miserable life. And that weak view, a weak view of the Sabbath, it also affects future generations. There may be a parents here. There may be one generation that still knows the salvation of the Lord. They are weak, but they know Him. All that's especially dangerous is that their children will almost certainly depart. Their parents are already waning in their love for the Lord and their love for the Lord's house. What will happen to their children? Their children will have no care for spiritual things. Their children will not know the Lord. A generation will arise that does not know the Lord. And all one has to do is look around at the broader church world today to see that. That's what happens when there's a weak view of the Sabbath. There's misery in that way. But those who keep this day, they experience God's blessing. As Exodus 20 verse 11 says, God blessed the Sabbath day and He hallowed it. This day is a blessing for us. This day is a blessing for those who keep it. By God's great grace. It's a blessing. Now that does not mean that we earn God's blessing by keeping the Sabbath day. It does not mean that we earn His favor. Of course not. We can't earn God's favor or His blessing. Those who keep the Sabbath day holy, but only because they already are saved and they already have the work of the Spirit in their hearts. Those who keep the day set apart for rest do so only because they already have the Spirit and they're seeking to live in thankfulness. Remember that this is in the third section of the Catechism, the section on thankfulness. We don't keep this command to earn a blessing. We do this in thankfulness. And even then, when we do seek to keep it in thankfulness, we still keep it imperfectly and we need forgiveness. As we look at this command, it's very clear that we've all failed. We all need forgiveness today. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for that after the service. Pray for forgiveness for this sin. But by the Spirit's power, God's people are also sanctified to go forward and keep this command. More and more then, let us do so. In that way of keeping this command and coming here to God's house, we experience God's blessing. We experience His nearness. We have true comfort and joy in this way. Think about it. You're weary after a week of struggling with sin. You're weary after experiencing many disappointments, many difficulties throughout the week. But then, in the way of keeping the Sabbath, in the way of coming here, all is made plain. We know our sin, but we hear that wonderful gospel, the truth that we're washed in the blood. We know all those difficulties throughout the week, but we come here and all is made plain. We see that Jesus Christ is our Lord who is caring for us. We experience comfort and joy in the way of coming here. That's God's blessing. Also in the way of keeping the Sabbath, we grow in our spiritual lives. We are fed true meat and drink, the Word. And this strengthens us to go forward and walk in His ways. We are pointed to the Savior throughout the whole worship service. We see what a great Savior He is to us, and we are strengthened to go forward and walk in thankfulness throughout the week to the glory of our God. As people of God, come here. Come here and seek to set apart the whole day for rest. And that way, we experience God's nearness and His closeness. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, we come and bow before Thee humbly, for we see that we do not keep this command perfectly. We sin. We've fallen far short of keeping the Sabbath day set apart entirely for rest. Forgive our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, and O Lord, also work in us to seek to keep this day holy. Today, even, may we be entirely focused upon Thee and upon our salvation in Jesus Christ. It's in Thy name alone we pray. Amen.